So one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this over the Gonderdyland Rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's gonna come in his heaven airplane.
This is called The Snake. On her way to work one morning, down the path along the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor, half-frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. "Oh well," she cried, "I'll take you in, and I'll take care of you. Take me in, oh tender woman, take me in for heaven's sake. Take me in, oh tender woman," sighed the broken snake. She wrapped him up all cozy in a curvature of silk, and then laid him by the fireside with some honey and some milk. Now she hurried home from work that night. As soon as she arrived, she found that pretty snake she'd taken in finally had been revived. "Take me in, oh tender woman, take me in for heaven's sake. Take me in, oh tender woman," sighed the broken snake. Now she clutched him to her bosom. "You're so beautiful," she cried. "But if I hadn't brought you in by now, heavens, you might have died." Now she stroked his pretty skin, and then she kissed him and held him tight. But instead of saying thank you, that snake gave her a vicious bite. "Take me in, oh tender woman, take me in for heaven's sake. Take me in, oh tender woman," sighed the broken snake. "I saved you," cried the woman, "and you've bit me, heavens why. You know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm going to die." "Oh, shut up, silly woman," said the reptile with a grin. "You damn well knew I was a snake before you took me in." Believe me, folks. Believe me. Believe me.
We dressed into the night. He picked me up, we eight, made me feel so lucky.
Seven,
he kissed me in his
six,
we'd be making love it.
Five,
still the one, I thought it.
Four,
I'm trying to make us
three,
from that.
Two,
still the one.
Injection, fellas.
You know, we all have the same words at our disposal, a dictionary full of them, but it takes a poet to spin them into gold.
Well, the first thing I want to say is, mandate my ass. Because it seems as though we've been convinced that 26% of the registered voters, not even 26% of the American people, but 26% of the registered voters form a mandate or a landslide. 21% voted for Skippy and 3-4% voted for somebody else who might have been running. But oh yeah, I remember in this year that we have now declared the year from Shogun to Reagan, I remember what I said about Reagan. Minute. Acted like an actor. Hollywood. Acted like a liberal. Acted like General Franco when he acted like governor of California. Then he acted like a Republican. Then he acted like somebody was going to vote for him for president. And now we act like 26% of the registered voters is actually a mandate. We're all actors in this, I suppose. What has happened is that in the last 20 years, America has changed from a producer to a consumer. And all consumers know that when the producer names the tune, the consumer has got to dance. That's the way it is. We used to be a producer, very inflexible at that, and now we are consumers and finding it difficult to understand. Natural resources and minerals will change your world. The Arabs used to be in the third world. They have bought the second world and put a firm down payment on the first one. Controlling your resources will control your world. This country has been surprised by the way the world looks now. They don't know if they want to be Matt Dillon or Bob Dillon. They don't know if they want to be diplomats or continue the same policy of nuclear nightmare diplomacy. John Foster Dulles ain't nothing but the name of an airport now. The idea concerns the fact that this country wants nostalgia. They want to go back as far as they can, even if it's only as far as last week. Not to face now or tomorrow, but to face backwards. And yesterday was the day of our cinema heroes riding to the rescue at the last possible moment. The day of the man in the white hat or the man on the white horse. Or the man who always came to save America at the last moment. Someone always came to save America at the last moment. Especially in B-movies. And when America found itself having a hard time facing the future, they looked for people like John Wayne. But since John Wayne was no longer available, they settled for Ronald Reagan. And it has placed us in a situation that we can only look at like a B-movie. Come with us back to those inglorious days when heroes weren't zeros, before fair was square, when the cavalry came straight away and all American men were like Hemingway, to the days of the wondrous B-movie. The producer, underwritten by all the millionaires necessary, will be Casper the Defensive Weinberger. No more animated a choice is available. The director will be Attila the Hague, running around frantically declaring himself in control and in charge. The ultimate realization of the inmates taking over at the asylum. The screenplay will be adapted from the book called Voodoo Economics by George Papadoc Bush. Music by the village people, the very military, macho man. A theme song for saber rattling and selling wars door to door. Remember, we're looking for the closest thing we can find to John Wayne. The shades abound like kangaroos, courtesy of some spaced out Marlon Perkins, a Reagan contemporary. Clichés like itchy trigger finger and tall in the saddle and riding off or on into the sunset. Clichés like get off of my planet by sundown. More so than clichés like he died with his boots on. Marine tough, the man is Bogart tough, the man is Cagney tough, the man is Hollywood tough, the man is cheap steak tough and Bonzo substantial. The ultimate in synthetic selling, a Madison Avenue masterpiece, a miracle, a cotton candy politician. Pesto, macho, 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 man. Put your orders in, America, and quick as Kodak, your leaders duplicate with the accent being on the dupes. Because all of a sudden we have fallen prey to selective amnesia, remembering what we want to remember and forgetting what we choose to forget. All of a sudden the man who called for a bloodbath on our college campuses is supposed to be Dudley goddamn Do-Right. You go give them liberals hell, Ronnie. That was the mandate to the new Captain Bly on the new ship of fools. It was doubtlessly based on his chameleon performance in the past as a liberal Democrat, as the head of the Studio Actors Guild. When other celluloid saviors were cringing in terror from McCarthy, Ron stood tall. It goes all the way back from Hollywood to Hillbilly, from liberal to libelous, from Bonzo to Birchite or Born Again. Civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, it's all wrong. Call in the cavalry to disrupt this perception of freedom gone wild. God damn it, first one wants freedom, then the whole damn world wants freedom. Nostalgia, that's what we want. The good old days, when we gave them hell. When the buck stopped somewhere and you could still buy something with it. To a time when movies was in black and white and so was everything else. Even if we go back to the campaign trail, before six-gun Ron shot off his face and developed hoof and mouth. Before the free press went down before full court press and were reluctant to view the menu because they knew the only thing available was Crow. Lon Chaney, our man of a thousand faces. No match for Ron. Doug Henning does the makeup. Special effects from Grecian Formula 16 and Crazy Glue. Transportation furnished by the David Rockefeller Remote Control Company. Their slogan is, why wait for 1984? You can panic now and avoid the rush. So much for the good news. Wall Street goes, so goes the nation, and here's a look at the closing numbers. Racism is up, human rights are down, peace is shaky, war items are hot, the house claims all ties, jobs are down, money is scarce, and common sense is at an all-time low in heavy trading. Movies were looking better than ever, and now no one is looking because we're starring in a big movie, and we would rather had John Wayne. We would rather had You don't need to be in love. You ain't never really got to worry, and you don't need to check on how you feel. Just keep repeating that none of this is real. And if you're sensing that something's wrong, well, just remember that it won't be too long before the director cuts the scene. Yeah. We'll be right back.
This brief collection of writing tips is called The Art and Science of Using Poetic Rhythm and Meter. To learn how to use rhythm in your writing, the best place to start is with the science of meter, which over time translates into an art form. Learning rhythm is like using the golden ratio in paintings like Leonardo da Vinci and other Renaissance writers did. It's also similar to learning to box or ground fight. When you learn any martial art, it starts rigidly and scientifically, as you learn each move step by step. Once it's muscle memory, however, it becomes an actual art. So keep that in mind as you learn how to use meter. It starts rigidly and with a scientific and almost mathematical approach, but once it becomes muscle memory, it undergoes metamorphosis, emerging as the art of rhythm.
Ultramagnetic. When spoken words done right, it's the most transcendental art form. I've been said it. Feel like I need to write rings around things I already wrote, and they still call me big-headed. Indebted to every lyric embedded in my spirit. I spit it till they swear it's like medicine to hear it. But do they really hear it? Somewhere out there, I believe there's entire lakes of bromonide and high fructose corn syrup. You can train fish to eat corn. You can train people to trade spirits until they slow down, drop, wiggle with it, preoccupied by earth suit, shiny minerals, and drop coops. They need to know who's sexing who. They need to know who got loot. Like, the rich can never control whoever they give money to. Like, the media can never control whoever they give play to. Like, public opinion can never control whoever the masses pray to. And when the world is this cold, those who still love love are the faithful. The degree to which you give is the degree to which you live. And as we know, there's some people so far from rich that the only thing they have is money. It's funny how time flies when you're willing to hide your third eye and never go outside without your state-approved disguise. They say a word to the wise is sufficient. So how about omnipotent, omniscient, or omnipresent? But then again, how many words would it take to suffice for the irreverent? Like that college student told that reverend, don't pray in my school and I won't think in your church. And I'm considered confused because I refuse to subsist within a paradigm in which God only exists within the framework that Constantine terrorized the world with. And I praise God for every thought that I'm worth. And I pray for all those who had it so hard, you feeling welcome on earth. And please know, ain't now trial or tribulation that can halt your rebirth. And if you got problems to fix, you should probably get with them, because it probably won't be too much time for problem fixing once you leave earth. And how unaware are the blessed that they would allow their development to be arrested, that they would allow the irrelevant and oppressive to come into their life and steal their light. And I share these words because I feel there might be something that wants to reach you. You know, a part of that spirit that often speaks through vessels such as myself. Unenamored by fame and wealth, in this world where so much pain is dealt, we see more. We see potential. We be that bridge from what you've been through to what it is you're trying to get into. So forget your poison, boys and girls. This is life without crutches. Probably one of the reasons most people don't want to fuck with spoken word in the first place. This ain't money, holes, and clothes. This is life lessons on gracefully growing old. The truth's been being sold. But first you have to let go of all those lying lenses you've been told, because the only way to behold is to have faith in the soul and the mind that God gave you.
So let's go ahead and get into the scientific side of things. Here's some examples of meter. The first thing we're going to go over is the iamb. An iamb consists of an unstressed syllable followed by a stressed syllable. This is the most common form of meter and can have a bit of a bouncy feel to it. Here's an example from Shakespeare's Hamlet. To be or not to be, that is the question. Now, this is how the meter is stressed. To be or not to be, that is the question. Now, of course, that's not how we actually read it. We read it, to be or not to be, that is the question.
Like synonyms for the same sad song sung, the dead receive an encore. They ask me for something more. Something maybe sexy, something saying nothing rhyming, something neo-coon in auto-tune, a prophecy wrapped in pork casings. Lacings and trimming neatly inserted into braille, as if the truth is in need of a veil, like Sean Bell wasn't Rodney King, and like Rodney King wasn't Emmett Till. And like the sun didn't set the same time last time, when we were merely atoms and Adam didn't exist, but they want something souped up. Heat and eat Campbell's treat, punchline and trooped up, marching band and souped up. No regard for how very hard it was to get this message puked up. But I am living math, born from a matter made of exponential form. I'm dual in my spirit, so one and one are four. I'm square rooted to the core. These cats be light like angel cake. I'm 3.14. With algebraic tactics, you couldn't solve me with a smart board in practice. I move with guerrilla warfare, lip gloss, nappy hair, and dirty Guerrera jackets. I am living math, backed by proportions complementary to the gods. I'm absolute value and square rooted to the heart. This is no facade. I study hard with ancestors who roll in heavy rotation. They speak in tongues which preceded the flood and build arcs in scientific notation. I'm a brown skin flower, deep rooted in attributes that leave skid marks on light years. Rebirth from the afterbirth of 12 tribes and 7 sins. My lifetime is a cliff note. A notebook holds my center. I break dance for breakfast and sponge bath in God's placenta. Like easy breezy color girl, contrary to Brandy's lump sum. Like most real men want some, like most men don't get none. I still be that ghetto girl negro with the ill pop lock. High topped in Caprini green. Nazarene by bloodline. Magladine by waistline. Sip Manischewitz wine as I grind grapes with my feet to the baseline. Find me on my downtime. Giving birth to Cicero's with 7 senses and cornrows now. Sell that to deaf poetry. And I ain't got no more CDs. I'm giving my last one away for free to a bastard child so she could finally surf her dreams. And I ain't got no business cards. It's hard to book a book. Besides, these venues be off the hook. Paying profits and pennies, supposing paper pushes the prophecy. But I will break you off properly. Spit hollow tips righteously to rip right through your monopoly. Probably, but that's not what I'm here for. And if you came here anticipating some type of spectacular speech on how to free South Africa, then unfortunately, you've been overpriced for your seats. And ladies, I can't begin to tell you how to undo what you allowed that brother to do because I don't write for you. And you would still be incorrect if you honestly expect for my words to save this here nation. Screaming revolution, claiming I have a solution. My true revolution begins with myself. And since we can barely even seem to stand together, since we can barely even seem to see my wealth together, what is 1,000 of your pistols gonna do to a U.S. missile? Fool, I don't write for you. Just like Aaron didn't write to excite the Levites. I refuse to use a sexy word collage just to fuse your music, get your ooze and your eyes. Your standing ovation. See, I don't write for you. This is for my rehabilitation. And though I've only been doing this poetry thing for just a moment, I can't help but notice that some of these poets are just a little bit bogus. I'm not trying to throw stones, but I need that stuff that's gonna shake my bones. And these clones seem nervous. I mean, they can't move me beyond my epidermis. Even after 40 days and 40 nights of their very best verses, I didn't even rehearse this. I could go up in churches and slam using curses, having little old ladies digging into the deep depths of their purses. Holy Ghost up in their cervix before the start of the morning service. Did they full-time lack purpose? Well, I'd be defecating verses like I was Zora Neale Hurston. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm just a whole lot deeper than the surface, murking through slam spots to drop poetic jazz and hip-hop. Remixed in basements with hints of scat and bebop. You think not? Lies. My art cries revolution so it cannot be televised. My art is freedom so it cannot be revised. You think not? Lies. If they stretch their minds as far as they stretch their ego size, then after these slams they could at least walk away with third prize. But God forbid they jeopardize their pride. I'll save the bold entree, you stay aside at cold fries. Here's an FYI. There were 17 Diallos prior to his existence. There were 17 Chesimars prior to her resistance. There were 17 circles of children by the pairs shot down prior to the shooting of the square. I was there low-key, my black book, and writing scriptures as they bleed, and I couldn't hear them scream because my screams were screaming louder. I couldn't hear them dream because my dreams were dreaming louder. I couldn't write for them. I broke my number 2. I couldn't write for them, and I'll be damned to write for you.
The next type of meter we'll talk about is pyrrhic. A pyrrhic is a foot with 2 unstressed syllables. This rhythmic pattern formed the basis of an identically named ancient Greek war dance, called, of course, pyrrhic. Alfred Lord Tennyson used both pyrrhic and spondee extensively. This example is from his poem In Memoriam A.H.H. When the blood creeps and the nerves prick. And the stress is on when the and the. When the blood creeps and the nerves prick. But of course we read it, when the blood creeps and the nerves prick. Now, Tennyson and many other writers used pyrrhic and spondee extensively again, but not everyone liked it. This is what Edgar Allan Poe had to say about pyrrhic meter. The pyrrhic is rightfully dismissed. Its existence in either ancient or modern rhythm is purely chimerical. I don't know what chimerical is, but it's purely chimerical. And the insisting on so perplexing a non-entity as a foot of 2 short syllables affords, perhaps, the best evidence of the gross irrationality and subservience to authority, which characterizes our prosody. Prosody, however you pronounce that word.
Naughty man, sneaky, have you any fun?
Yes, sir, try this one. Go tell your partner, go tell your friend. With this one, you cannot rhyme the ends. I say, you can't rhyme the story. You can't rhyme the song. You can't rhyme the endings. But if you love wildness, you can sing along. Two girls in effect, message me, come quick. I dashed out my door and stepped on some dog. Chain my yard was still wet, yet still I ran fast. Slipped on some grass and I fell on my knee. I'm driving, rain falling this time of the month. I splashed a young lady, she called me a foolish man. Yet still, I gave her a drop. She asked me quite kindly, can I suck your strap in? Snakey, you are splendid for rent.
Me say,
with this one you cannot rhyme the ends. I say you can't rhyme the story. You can't rhyme the song. You can't rhyme the endings. If you love wildness, you can stick around. I reached at the venue, they gave me a call. The security started squeezing my pockets. To the fet, I'm sipping a Mac. A red's in a tight with an enormous pussy. Man fall down, I wondered what next. A couple in the bathroom, they was having dinner. Men funny, while playing mass. Any chance they get, they pinch each other's pussy. You are splendid for rent. With this one you cannot rhyme the ends. I say you can't rhyme the story. You can't rhyme the song. You can't rhyme the endings. If you love wildness, you can stick around. I finally met them, they really look best. One of them took my hand and rest it on their bottle. She said, you have to drink rum, cause right after this we will have a tree. Blooms matches and light the stove and make a cook. I sharp my pencil to give her an autograph. They said, they can't wait again. I'll give them sweet pleasure and give them some dirty. Snakey, hey! You are splendid for rent. This one you cannot rhyme the ends. Them say, Coty man, sneaky, have you any fun?
Yes sir,
try this one. Go tell your partner, go tell your friend. With this one you cannot rhyme the ends. Listen, you can't rhyme the story. You can't rhyme the song. You can't rhyme the endings. If you love wildness, you can sing along. You can't rhyme.
It is what it's for real.
Please, if you love wildness, you can sing along.
I believe the proper pronunciation for this next word is spondi. A spondi is a metrical foot consisting of two long syllables. The word comes from the Greek spondi, which means libation. A libation is a ritual pouring of a liquid as an offering to a god or spirit, or in memory of those who have died. This line from Shakespeare's Troilus and Cressida has two spondis right at the beginning. Cry, cry, Troy burns, or else let Helen go. The emphasis is on those two spondis. Cry, cry, Troy burns, or else let Helen go.
Hey, Dad, And what's up?
Take a seat. We need to speak about your actions as of late. It seems you've lost yourself and are now on a search for fate. There's no debate. How can you equate happiness to making ripples in the lake of flames you create? Every time you search your mind to find ways to down my matriarch, full of yourself just cause you're the patriarch. I'm making art and you're making a mess of the time this family has left in the flesh.
Whoa, hold up, now let's wait a minute, son. From where is this coming from? What are you saying? Are you attacking my behavior? What's done is done. And I've done what is what? I'm not trying to get defensive, but I don't understand the question.
Well, you're posing as a man of care and love, helped for years. Now I feel the tears that pierce my heart as spears from my mom's eyes. Catapulted my anger as taunted. Time flies, but time is an Icarus. It'll fall soon enough. Hopefully before that, you'll wake up and break from the mental makeup. Handcuffs, this is no bluff, no game. I'm not playing. See the straight face?
Yeah, I can read the straight face.
And I hope
face.
This makes you see how blame takes.
Whoa, wait, let me get this straight. The child that I've created is debating the food I've got on my plate. Have you had the chance to taste the seasonings sprinkled about my thinking and my reasoning for how I keep on keeping on?
How you what?
Keep on looking outside mom for pleasure? How you keep on behind life's beat by one measure? Not caring that you're walking down a path of endless laughs, glad to be in last place encased in a lower moral class. I don't see how you can be content to be part of family history as an unsympathetic low life with strife fueling.
I'm not hearing you, you're a man, I'm a man, go find a woman and a piece of land, leave me to stand.
You feel like a man? Huh? Maybe you can stop hating me, stop being a mother back. Maybe we can stop being father and son.
You ain't my father, 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 you ain't my father.
Yeah, I'll leave you, but not to stand, cause you're conceited. Thinking the planet revolves around your way of thinking, sinking into the quicksand of drinking and fornicating. It's so amazing how many you love as a plate. Is that what this is about? Yo, I love your mom, and I love her till the day the universe breaks and the earthquakes take away all the birthdays. On top of that, I've broken my back and succeeded in giving my people everything my people needed. In fact, the only thing to suffer from my selfishness was myself and my own mental health. My bones, my heart, my pride. Am I right to find my truth and my mistakes I didn't get to make as a
youth? Yeah, you must be making up for the mistakes now, cause you're making a whole hell of a lot of them. Your pride needs to be swallowed down to the pits of digestion. I'm guessing on my little brothers you don't wanna leave a good impression, so I'm stressing that I take responsibility for my actions and don't run from them. How can someone not respect a human prospect that comes
from? This isn't a form of disrespect, it is what it is. I'm just trying to find the shadows that my travels happen to miss. I tell you what, when you've seen and smelled the scents I've been dealt, when you wear the pants and the belt, and when you finally find the patterns to yourself, maybe then and only then might be then you can pretend to
but
help.
See, I found my self-worth, I'm trying to help you find yours. I've trudged through this garden of marksmen and knee-high apple cores, parallel my face to the floor day after day, until I made up in my mind that I was gonna have to find my way. I'm trying to say that I've been through a lot, maybe not as much as you, but I probably didn't take as much for me to wake up. True indeed, you're my father, but fathers also need counsel, so take criticism, listen before giving, and swallow that mouthful.
Well, the poison doesn't flow that far from the flower. You've got your own thorns to regret and be proud of. I understand your questions, your skepticism and anger, but sometimes there's no right or wrong answer.
Well, of course not, cause in this life change is the only constant. I'm just trying to understand why you're bathing yourself in nonsense.
Check the content, you're a man, I'm a man. Go find a woman and a piece of land, leave me to stand.
Now our next form of meter is called trochee. A foot with a stressed syllable followed by an unstressed syllable is a trochee. Longfellow's The Song of Hiawatha contains the perfect example of trochee. Should you ask me, whence these stories? Whence these legends and traditions? With the odors of the forest, with the dew and damp of meadows. With the proper stress on those stressed syllables, it reads very awkwardly, but it goes something like this. Should you ask me whence these stories, whence these legends and traditions, with the odors of the forest, with the dew and damp of meadows. But of course we read it. Should you ask me whence these stories, whence these legends and traditions, with the odors of the forest, with the dew and damp of the meadows. Another great example is, again, from William Shakespeare. Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. With the proper stress on those stressed syllables, we have double, double, toil and trouble. Fire, burn, and cauldron, bubble. Double, double, troil and trouble, fire, burn, and cauldron, bubble.
How y'all doing? Y'all good? I would never want to break you, reshape you into my own, selfishly cause you to zone in and out of consciousness, especially if I couldn't promise you forever. It seems like it would be better to hold back rather than hold your back with magic fingers like a masseuse and induce nerve endings that extend and curve, bend in time and space so that moments after I enter, tears exit your face. My tongue and lips would taste like you. My eyes would be oil paintings of your future with the flash of your past, and butterflies and rabbits couldn't surmise to surpass how long your climax would last. You would still feel me while you were alone in your bath. You would still feel me on your way to work. You would still feel me while you were sitting at your desk, and even the walls of your office would appear to be glistening wet. I can touch you inside in places you are about to forget. I can touch you inside in places ain't never been touched yet. And even if we just sit there and I whisper elixirs of sweet words into your ear and explore your center of gravity, my electricity would still feel like vibrations, no cords, no batteries. But the problem would be in believing that we could casually continue, and every time I leave, I take a piece of you with me. And even though every piece I take is replaced with equivalent energy, it doesn't seem fair if the energy shared consistently kept you open. And if no one could ever fill that void again, I would feel like I selfishly left you broken.
Our next form of meter is called anapest. An anapest consists of two unstressed syllables followed by a stressed syllable. The following is from Byron's The Destruction of Sennacherib. The Assyrian came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. This is what it sounds like when you put a stress on the stressed syllables. The Assyrian came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold.
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, quick, quick. Sometimes I rhyme slower, sometimes I rhyme quick. I'm sweeter and thicker than a Chico stick. Here's an ice cream cone, honey, take a lick. I'll go to Bay Plaza and catch a flick. Want my Timberland boots so I can stomp ticks. Scandalous, get a whiff of this mist. Just left the yard, boy, now I'm blessed. I feel good, per se, good state of mind. Drive a red Sterling and the seats recline. I love it when a lady treats me kind. Go to tavern on the green, I have a glass of wine. He say, she say, I heard it through the grapevine. No static, got an automatic. Too much of anything makes you an addict. Teasing, skeezing, all so pleasing. Don't ask why, I got my own reason. Smooth beat, great, nice, slick, nick, click. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Quick, 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 quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Quick, quick, quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Quick, quick, quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. I was on 125 in St. Nick, waiting on a cab, standing in the rain. Under my heart, three clouds of pain. She got the best of me, what was her destiny? Maybe I should lick her with my 9mm. My mind is in a blur, cause you can never pay me to think this would occur. Me and this girl, Jane Doe, was living together. We were inseparable, no one could sever. At least that's what I thought, but later I fought with a substance and almost ended up in Supreme Court. When I was on the road doing shows, getting ends, she was in my Benz getting snippy with her friends. And even when she crashed my whip, I didn't flip. My man Slick Nick said, smooth, you're starting to slip. Time went on, I started noticing weight loss. Then I had to ask her, was she riding a white horse? At first she said no, then she said, yo, smooth, I'm sorry, but I keep having visions of snow, I need blow. And I said, whoa, little hottie, I'm not DeLorean, Gambino, or Gotti. I don't deal coke, and furthermore, you're making me broke. I'll put you in a rehab and I won't tell your folks. And what do you know? At 18 months, she came home and I let her back in. And now she's sniffing again. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick.
And the last type of meter that we're going to be working with is called the dactyl. A dactyl, kind of like pterodactyl without the terra, consists of one stressed syllable followed by two unstressed syllables. This example is from Robert Browning's The Lost Leader. Just for a handful of silver he left us, just for a riband to stick in his coat. Just for a handful of silver he left us, just for a riband to stick in his coat. The last thought I'd like to leave with you is this. When you first start writing with meter, it'll feel a little bit unnatural. And many writers never learn the art of rhythm because they reject the scientific approach of meter. I just want to encourage you to push through the severe inflexibility of meter in the same way you would if you were learning to play the piano or the guitar. Good art always begins with the harsh discipline of technique. But once it becomes a muscle memory, you can write freely and instinctively, and your rhythm will flow naturally. And that's it.
Well, Miss Muffet sat on a tougher. Eating occurred some way. Long came a spidey, sat down beside he said, hey, what's in the bulb? Oh! Jack and Jill went up to help, both with a buck and a quarter. Jill came down with 250. Oh! That big whore. Little boy Blue, he needed the money. Oh! Three blind mice, see how they run. Where the fuck are they going? Was an old lady lived in a shoe, she had so many kids, a uterus fell out. Oh! You're unbelievable. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, trim that beast, it's so damn hairy. Oh! Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her old dog a bone. She bent over, Rover took over. Oh! Exactly. You know, that's pretty good. I f***ed her. Yeah, well, that's pretty good because... You f***ing guys are unbelievable. You're a gnome now, pal. Yeah, right, sit down. All right, snapperhead, beautiful. It's the type of guy that goes down on a chick all night and goes to work without washing his face. Now, you know, I dug that. That's good, because you did your homework, you studied, you learned the lines. But you see, I also keep working. And I put together a few new poems. Well, stick these in your pocket, all right? Little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating a pizza pie. He dished pepperoni, blew his friend Tony, wiped his mouth on his tie. They get better. Mary had a little lamb she kept in her backyard. When she took her panties off, his woolly got hard. Pudgy Porgy Pudding and Pie jerked off in his girlfriend's eye. When her eye was dry and shut, Georgie f***ed that one-eyed hoe.
That's not even funny.
I do not think that nursery rhyme means what you think it means.
Let's talk about that. Good mythical morning.
Today we tackle nursery rhymes. That's right, the cornerstone of every child's sweet, innocent childhood.
Well, those sweet little innocent nursery rhymes, actually it turns out many of them have a dark underbelly. The origins can be downright nasty, bizarre, weird. And today we're going to find out who knows those origins better as we play That Nursery Rhyme Means What? AKA, you kiss your mother goose with that mouth? Okay, so we're going to present nursery rhymes to one another and you get points for how close you are to the actual origin story.
The one with the most points at the end wins a baby, right? You're going first. Explain this. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? Mm. With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row.
Mm. Okay.
So sweet.
This
right?
one is not about the past. This one is about the future.
Okay.
It is prophetic, apocalyptic, if you will.
Yes.
Mary is a figure that will rise up against the government, contrary, and she will be the first person in history to figure out how to grow actual people. The key is cockle shells. Silver bells is how you know they're ready. And yes, they are all women.
She grows pretty maids.
She grows only women. Only okay. women in the future.
I'm searching my details of the correct answer, and the only overlap between that one and yours is the word Mary.
Well, I got something right.
Mary Contrary is actually Queen Mary the First, a.k.a. Bloody Mary, who had a lot of people killed in her garden, which is a graveyard, using her torture devices, which were silver bells, cockle shells, and the maiden, which beheaded people.
That makes a lot more sense.
But just for sheer creativity and being future forward, I'm going to give you 25 points.
Woo! All right.
Lay one on me.
Here's yours. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water.
Of course.
Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after.
Okay, okay. Right off the bat, Jack has a crown because he is King Jackson of the Scots. And why is he so thirsty? Because he's got some sort of like a stomach bug, and Queen Jill's got to take him to the hospital up the hill. But hold on, don't drive so fast. You're going over the hill. You're going over the edge, and we're both dying. And It's a sad ending.
It is.
He
sad.
Was just dehydrated. Why you got to go through over the
just
railing,
dehydrated.
Jill?
Okay, a dehydrated king. Link, that's not correct. The origins
really?
Actually, the origins are disputed, so I'm going to give you some points for that in a second. But basically, there's a town in England, Kilmerston, that says that there was an actual Jack and Jill. Jill got pregnant out of wedlock. Oh, big no-no. Then she died in... Then Jack died, then Jill died after they had the baby. I don't know why this is a legend you want to remember, but the kid lived and had to deal with this nursery rhyme. But there is a disputed origin that says that it has something to do with a king. So just for that, I'm going to give you 38 points.
Oh, all right, yeah. All right, thank you for that. Anti-child unwedlock nursery rhyme.
Yes.
I get it. Here's another one. Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. Mm-hmm. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby cradle and all.
Yes.
This one always seemed oddly horrific to me, but does the darkness go even deeper?
Before we put stars on Christmas trees, we put babies. They called them Christmas babies.
You're on the right track.
Put them at the top of the tree. And all Christmas trees were outdoors before homes existed.
Existed, yes.
And so the wind would blow and the baby would calm down and be like, oh, this is really working. Until the wind blew too hard, the tree breaks, the baby dies. Actually, the number one cause of infant mortality in the old world. Christmas babies.
What?
Yeah.
All right, very festive answer.
Yeah.
But wrong. King James II of England could not produce an heir. He couldn't help make a baby. So they snuck a baby into the birthing chamber and said it was his baby. The wind and the cradle falling is the predicting of his undoing, which came true. He was deposed in 1688.
Historical.
That one's boring. Yours is great. I'm going to give you at least 43 points.
Wow!
Because let's replace that one right now.
Okay, here you go, Link. Rub-a-dub-dub, 3 men in a tub, and who do you think were there? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and all of them gone to the fair.
Okay, all of them gone to the fair. This is the first World's Fair in 1851, where they unveiled the first prototype of what? The hot tub. Step right up, people. Oh. It's a tub big enough for 3 grown men of various professions.
Yes.
Here you go. And people would buy tickets and look at this thing.
Yeah, they would.
Little fact. This is just a little fact.
Give me a little candlestick maker
went back home, started his own business, and he is none other than Edward Jacuzzi himself.
Great story. Entirely wrong. The earliest version of this rhyme actually was 3 maids in a tub. That's right.
I like that one better.
In the 14th century, there was a traveling show. There were traveling shows in which scantily clad, if not completely naked, ladies
getting clean
would perform, I guess, in tubs.
And, but you would buy a ticket to that.
You had to buy a ticket to it. And the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, sort of the pillars of society, if you will, were caught there at the fair.
Scandal.
So you got fair right. There is a tub. It was probably at least lukewarm.
Yeah. And you bought a ticket.
51 points, Link. Congratulations.
Oh, man. I almost nailed that one. 3 blind mice, 3 blind mice. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife who cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life as 3 blind mice?
Link, these are not mice. These are men. And I'm not talking about Lenny. I'm talking about... These are dudes who were after the farmer's wife. And this was a time in history, it's the 1400s or so, where every guy had a rat tail. And... what you would do to shame a man and embarrass him is to cut his rat tail off. She did not want to commit infidelity. She cut the rat tails off. That gave the signal to their wives. These jokers are trying to go around my back. And they blinded them. Their wives blinded them. So this is just 3 dudes that had rat tails. That's all. That's nothing to see here. Infidelity.
You're right about 3 dudes. The farmer's wife is Bloody Mary. Back at it again with the white vans.
Really?
Back at it again with the executions. The 3 mice were 3 Anglican bishops that she did not cut their tails off. They didn't have tails. She just burned them at the stake. That's it.
I guess that does get rid of your tail.
Man, I love rat tails in a good origin story,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you do.
Man, so I'm going to give you 51 points.
Oh, that's thanks for that.
Did you give me 51?
Yeah, yeah. That's where you
that's
got
where
that
I got
number.
It from. All right, hey, I gave it though.
Okay, Link, here's your big
give
chance
and take.
To take it home. Here we go around the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush. Here we go around the mulberry bush so early in the morning.
All right. This is a propaganda piece. In the 15th century France, the demand for mulberry pies was off the charts.
Okay.
So farmers came up with this song for the kids to sing to get them to pick mulberries without getting paid, free child labor to make the pies. Propaganda. They would actually put it on posters. 15th century France, I believe.
Link, you're really right in one area, and that it's about kids
doing
weird stuff.
Exactly.
Because in 19th century England, there was a prison in Wakefield that decided to add females to its population, and they brought their kids to work with them. They brought their kids into the prison. And this was a rhyme to get the
kids... Why do I look surprised?
The kids
I knew
to
this.
Exercise by going around the mulberry bush. You, my friend...
Exercise propaganda!
78 points.
Oh, that means I gotta win this baby, right?
I think you got more points in every round than me, so congratulations, you win an actual human baby. Let's bring it in.
Oh, here it is! Woo! Oh, it comes in the car seat.
Look at that. You want me to tell you where that baby comes from, Link?
These days, lyrics in rap songs don't have to technically rhyme. They can just sort of rhyme, and we'll accept it. Like Jay-Z rhyming wealth with self, but come on. So I'm taking things a step further, yo. I'm gonna make a rap song where I go out of my way to purposely not rhyme. So, gonna make a rap song, but I ain't gonna rhyme. I could make it rhyme, but I don't have the patience. Lyrics like punches, 1, 2, 3. Float like a butterfly, sting like a wasp. Use a beard trimmer, no need for razor blades. Wear lots of bling and a pair of cool sunnies. Rapping without rhyming and I'm not afraid to show it. That's cause I'm a poet and I didn't even realize.
Playing by the rules is for geeks and nerds. This song is a rap where we don't run the lyrics.
At my bro's wedding, not allowed to throw confetti. Wife is a turn, so for dinner we ate pasta. Eat what I want, yo, can I get a witness? Next day at the gym, take care of my cardio. Trying to get ripped, I just eat lots of celery. Keeps you nice and lean cause it has no carbs. Work hard, play hard, time for relaxation. See my travel agent and I book a holiday.
Not enjoying this flow, there must be something wrong. Don't blame the lack of rhyming, just blame it on the rap.
Brother had his graduation for his education. Gave him champagne just to say congrats. I'm a natural survivor, ain't no freaking child. Get survival tips watching Man vs Metro. As a little kid I was just a little menace. I kept off the streets by playing ping pong. Dream is to live in a house by the water. Beautiful wife and a son and another son.
We make a song, we leave out the gimmicks. This song is a rap where we don't run the words.
Lots of fan mail, gotta respond, gotta send. But as for this rap, it's time for it to finish.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Yeah, when you touch my hand and talk sweet talk, I got a knocking in my knees and a wobble in my walk, and I'm trembling. Talk romance, my heart stars are doing that Saint Rita dance, and I'm dancing, yeah. Oh, and I'm shaking. Early in the morning time, late in the middle of the night, whenever this chill comes over me, I wanna hug you with all of my might. That's right, and I'm sweating. Oh, yeah, you got me shaking. You got me sweating.
Now, go find the others.com.
Well, that was conceptually adventurous.